listening to...
Hey, did you remember that we're drunk on comics?
This is episode 141 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com and Motor City Comic Con. Oh, fuck it.
Just punch it.
Yeah, so yes, to answer your question, Kevin, the Jay and Silent Bob movie still holds up.
Okay, so the last time I saw that movie was probably about 10 years ago, and I watched the hell out of it. So you're just like, one day wake up, you're like, oh, I need to see some old Kevin Smith movies.
No, it was, well, we've had all this wonderful snow your ass in weather.
Oh, God, yeah.
And the bitter cold. And so, yeah, it was, sick of trying to go out, sick of just, it's like, I love going to the bar, but, it's like,
Yeah.
During the day, you like, it's not socially acceptable to be there for like 18 hours in a day. So you got to do some day drinking at home.
Yeah, we're at that point where it's just, everyone's just tired of the cold in the winter, and we just stop trying anymore. Really, everyone's, because we get a lot of snow where we're at, and the sidewalks aren't done, driveways are halfway done. It's just a mess. No one cares anymore.
Like, you don't even bother washing your hair. You're just like, fuck life. Give me another beer.
Yeah, that's actually pretty much what happens.
Well, guys, welcome. This is Drunk on Comics. My name's Derek.
This is Kevin.
And glad you guys are back for another episode. And if you're new listeners, thank you for checking us out.
Yeah, thanks. We really appreciate it. I mean, we've got a lot of avenues for y'all to check us out at. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Stitcher, iTunes, drunkoncomics.com, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the hardly ever used Instagrams.
We are princes of social media right now.
We should start a MySpace just for the hell of it.
Do you still have a MySpace account?
No.
You actually went and deleted it.
I'm pretty sure that, like, I took everything off of it because, like, I think I would, like,
it you took was... down your rad tunes and your cool wallpaper.
Yeah, and this is a new recording area for us. Apparently, the cat was wanting to get involved in the conversation.
He's something new and different's happening.
Yeah, but no, I think I tried to log into my MySpace at one point, and I can't even remember what my login or username or password or any of that was. So, yeah. Do you still have yours?
I did for some reason, and this is about a year ago. I logged in, and of course, this is when everyone had really weak passwords.
Yeah.
So I knew the password.
Your password was Steve, wasn't it?
Oh, was that the guy? Your first friend?
Oh, no, was it Tom?
Yeah,
MySpace Tom. Yeah, it's like the guy looking over his shoulder that's a little creepy.
Yeah. So you create your MySpace profile, and then instantly you get one friend.
Yeah.
And it was the founder of the company.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he didn't use that.
But I logged in for the purpose of deleting the account, and then I think after, so I find the part that says delete my account, and after like the fourth or fifth plea from MySpace, don't delete your account, I'm like, ah, fuck it. I'm like, oh man, salesmen see me from like a mile away, and you see me as a pigeon. Like, all they know is you keep on asking for the sale, and they're gonna get me every time.
All right, well, Kevin, how about we review some comics?
All right, man.
Holy shit, I didn't even have to ask five times. I tell you what, I'm going to kick it off here this week because actually I've
it sounds like you're excited for something.
Well, I've got a 1-2 punch with a 2-3 issue.
Sorry.
And a little.
So are you reviewing two books or the same book but two issues?
I'm actually reviewing two books, and my main reason for this is because Lady Killer number 2 came out last week. I somehow missed it at my shop. Now my own fault because I didn't put it on my poll.
Well, missed it like they ran out.
They may have, or I just completely missed it. But I was in a bit of a haze that week because I was under the weather, and I didn't even pick my books up on Wednesday. It was like Thursday, so they like late Thursday, so they may have run out.
Do they freak out a little bit? Oh my God, where's Derek?
Well, you know,
we can't pay rent without him.
Well, you know, actually, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you start getting messages from your comic shop when it's like, you know, like Thursday morning, are you okay? But anyway, so Lady Killer number 2 from Dark Horse. The story is by Joelle Jones and Jamie S. Rich. And Joelle also did the art on this. Colors are by Laura Allred. And I talked about issue 1 of this a little bit. This is basically like a 1950s style book with, you know, you've got the woman Josie, who is your main character. And she's your housewife with two little twin girls and the husband, but what the husband doesn't know is that she's a contract killer. And so she goes out and does things. Now, in this issue, it opens with her in, like, this pussycat club, very similar to, like, a Playboy club where they've got, mm-hmm. like, the little cat ears and the cat tail, but it's a Playboy club.
Mm-hmm.
This is the main reason that I really wanted to bring this up. This is a really fun book. I mean, it's one of those things where you love seeing a character that has that, you know, that dark secret side to them, where I think what I like about this is that the dark secret side is really her true side, and the family and all that, while it's important to her, the family is more of there as a cover up than anything else. Which it's really cool. I mean, there's a nice dichotomy to the character here. But the art by Joelle Jones in this is just top notch. And I mean, that's the one thing that I wanted to kind of, you know, bring people's attention to, because you're not going to see a lot of artwork like this. It's very crisp. It's very clean. And I talked about this in the first issue. I love the ink splatter that's in the gutters on this book. That just kind of, you know, the only way I could.
Oh, okay. So are you talking about the action sequences?
Yeah, but actually, look in the gutters, like down along the, you know, the bottom set.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
That splashes outside the panels. That's what I, you know, it's a very, very cool effect, and to me, it gives it that feeling almost of watching an old film, you know, where you have like a little bit of lint or dust or whatever on the lens. That's kind of the feeling that it gave me when I read issue 1, and it brought it right back on issue 2. So, you know, it very, very well put together book from top to bottom. I mean, it's a fun story. It's really intricate. You're starting to get a little bit more into who Josie is, and that while she's extremely good at her job, she's not necessarily she doesn't have the job security that you'd think a contract killer should have. which that's a fun new, like, little add-on to a story like this that you haven't really seen. So I would highly recommend people check it out. Kevin, I see you just keep flipping through it. It's,
I've not read Lady Killer, but I'm drawn in by this style. I love the story. Appears to be from the mid late 50s,
mm-hmm.
you know, where that's the era that it appears to be in. I love that. I love the there's a tribute to the old Playboy clubs,
yeah,
of back in the day. I think this is just a really nice book. I love on the inside of the cover. You have, what do you call it? I mean, there's a credit page.
Yeah, your title page, credit page.
Yeah, and there's a really, I think it's a lovely drawing of
Josie.
Yeah.
Yeah. In her little suit with her little, you know, pillbox hat and
yeah, it's a, almost like a flight attendant outfit.
Very Jackie Kennedy esque.
Oh, perfectly said.
Yeah. So yeah, no, the Joelle Jones, her artwork, and the reason, because I picked this book up actually because I saw her name on it, because I'm not screwing this up, but I'm 90% positive that she was doing Helheim when Matt and I were reading that one. I think that was a Cullen Bunn book, and I'm gonna have to look this up now. But yeah, so anyway, while I'm looking that up to make sure I'm not a total fucking idiot, go pick up Lady Killer, check it out, and you know, see what you guys what do you guys think there. And that's it. But yeah, it was Cullen Bunn and Joelle Jones on that. So, but yeah, I knew that's where I'd seen her. Grabbed it. Very happy I did. I bumbled the end of that. That's fun.
Well, speaking of bumbling and stumbling, it's time for my review.
Woohoo!
So I picked up Zombies versus Robots by IDW. And this is issue 2.
Did you read issue 1?
I did. I did read issue 1. I picked this up because there's a couple different reasons. First of all, it's called Zombies versus Robots. I love zombies. I love robots. So naturally, I'm like, I'll probably enjoy this. Confirmed. I really did.
And you love second issues.
I picked this up digitally. And I'm like, you know what? I'll pick up the first issue. The first issue is only $1.99. Second issue is $3.99. And I'm like, oh, okay. We'll just see what sticks. Because sounds pretty good. Another reason why I picked this up is because it's not just one story. It's three stories.
Really?
Yeah. It's broken up into three stories. And your penny-pinching reviewer loves a good value. And I think you're getting a good value with this book because you're getting multiple stories. Now, of course, you're getting multiple stories, so you're not getting the length of stories. That might be a downfall to some people, but I look at it as you get more to look forward to in the next issue.
And for those that, you know, are frequent guests of the Short Attention Span Theater, that might be the way to go.
Yeah. But definitely, of course, the knock against it is that at the end, you're craving more. But, of course, isn't that any good book?
It should be, yes.
Yeah, it should be. Should be. So
even at a conclusion, if it's a solid book with a solid conclusion, you should be wanting more.
Yeah. Well, another reason why I picked this up, and I'm just a fucking dumbass, has been well established in the show, that I've read the summary of this on Comixology, and I jump to the conclusion. It's like I read something and then I process it and then come up with a different conclusion than what was actually printed. I thought it said in this 2-issue miniseries, when it actually was like in the second issue of this ongoing series. It's such a dumbass.
Oh god. Okay, wait. Speaking of dumbasses and summaries,
so what's Tony up to?
Tony is probably passed out in a ditch someplace. He went to like some brewing like beer festival thing yesterday.
No, an outdoor brew festival.
Yeah. So if he's in a ditch, he's dead, because it was -1 when I walked outside this morning. But no, so stupid summary things. A friend of mine was applying for a lot of jobs, and okay, he couldn't find.
This is a story about you.
No, actually, it's not.
I got this friend, so-and-so.
I'll tell you who it is later, because okay. it's a person that we both are friends with.
Okay.
But he's like, Derek, will you take a look at my resume? He's like, he goes, I don't know if I need to make any updates. And I'm like, wait, have you been sending this one out? And he goes, yeah, why? And I go, have you gotten any callbacks or anything? He's like, no, why? I go, your first word. He goes, yeah. I go, under your name? He goes, yeah.
It says yeah?
It says summary. I go, yeah. I go, but that's spelled like wintery. It's S-U-M-M-E-R-Y. He's like, well, spell check said everything was fine. I'm like, because summary is a word. Like flowery. You have an adjective up there. Anyway.
Well, when you say yes, add to my dictionary over and over and over again.
All right. Continue, Kevin, with your summary review.
Okay. So there's three stories in here. So so a lot of credits to give out. The first story, called Inherit the Earth, is written by Chris Ryall and art by Anthony. Opinion?
Okay, where's it? Anthony.
Dicieri.
Dicidu? I'm not sure.
Another.
The next ones are easy, though.
Yeah, Tales of ZVR, Ashley Wood, written and art by, and then the last story called The Orphan, it's written by Steve Niles, art by Val Mayerick, and colors by Jay Photos.
Okay, just out of curiosity, yeah. how was the Steve Niles one comparatively?
Really, the three stories are way different from each other.
You could have three stories by Steve Niles, and they'd all be very different, which is why I'm kind of curious.
Sure. Well, let me first recap the three stories.
Okay. Give us a summary.
Yes. So the first story, Inherent the Earth, is the story. Okay. The grand overview, because this is all one world, one Earth, okay? The overview is that zombies have taken over the Earth, and there's a bunch of robots. Sort of. Okay. Okay. The summary read on the Comixology site, it actually read this, and not just me spitting out ideas of what it says. Says that the last of the zombies have found the last of the humans, and the robots are trying to protect the last of the humans.
Okay.
Is it too much the case in the first couple of stories? That it's kind of a weird introduction that was given by the seller of the book, but doesn't I could see it developing into that story, but it's not happening there. So Inherit the Earth. Okay, so in the first story, Inherit the Earth, you have robots coming from outer space, trying to, and they sum up what's happening on Earth, which is a bomb blew up Earth, trying to get rid of the zombies, but killed everything, but the zombies still lived, and there are still robots left.
Are there still humans left?
Yes, but they're actually in a space station above Earth.
Oh.
So I'll leave it as that. It's an interesting twist on how the zombies are still around in this post-apocalyptic world. There's some things still to be explained, like why are the zombies still living even though it's been a year, because the idea in most zombies worlds is that they still need food,
right,
to survive. So, but they specifically focus on in issue two. There's this one badass robot still alive and still kicking ass. It's pretty cool because it talks like a human and it just has infinite weapons.
Nice.
It's an interesting post-apocalyptic world. But yes, there are humans. They're not in the first issue, but they make an appearance in the second one. And I could see in the next couple issues, the story's going to start enveloping more the humans, the robots, and the zombies.
I'm making a guess here. You don't have to tell me if I'm right. But did the zombies figure out a way to survive because they found the cabbage patch farm and they're eating those babies as they grow out of the fields? Because that's what I'm imagining. Like, they're like, oh, this one's ripe. This cute little kid's going, ah, yeah. ow. All right.
Okay, then the other story is Tales of, Xavier or ZVR. It's tough to say, but that it's a. I want to, even though it's simplistic in the storytelling, it's a dark story because it involves a small child, probably 4 or 5, and that it's quite the different tone from the first story, which it seems a little fun. It has a little bit of depth the first story is enjoyable, but the second one is totally a different tone, and it is the shortest of them all, which actually I want more of that story, the middle story, the story of ZVR. And then the last story is called The Orphan, and The Orphan I thought actually was just a future version of the second story.
Oh, okay.
But it's tough to say. But it's just a young child finding a companion robot to go through this post-apocalyptic world. It's very interesting take. A little bit of the, okay, so I'll take an example from Walking Dead. You know, I know you've read a little bit and watched a little bit of the show.
I've read all of it.
Okay, but the governor had a problem where he and a lot of people in that world, they had a problem where the people, the zombies or the biters.
Or the roamers or the walkers.
Whatever they want to call them. They're like, no, don't kill them. They're still people. And I still love them. And there's a little bit of that happening in this last story of robots versus zombies. And the story's not long enough to be like, to get invested and have an emotional attachment to the orphan in the story. But it's interesting to have that take that you've seen over and over again in The Walking Dead and put it into a different story.
Yeah.
But with robots.
You know, it's funny because I saw Zombies versus Robots 1 and I saw number 2 on the shelves and I went, I don't know if this is for me. But I'm glad you read it because now I'm actually kind of curious that this is something that maybe I think I should at least just check out. You know,
I definitely say it's definitely worth a check out. I tell you, another thing that really drew me in, I really like that cover art.
Yeah.
The cover art on number 2 is very nice. I don't know how to explain art very well to anybody.
That's definitely more of like a watercolor, you know, painting, which is, you know. Yeah. I couldn't describe the style.
Yeah, it's very nice. Now, I did. What I don't understand, and as I'm looking around at the credits,
Don't know who did the
cover. I don't know who did the cover.
Yeah.
On that. How often does that happen where the cover isn't credited?
I don't know. Well, and digitally, you never know. Digitally, it might be a little bit different because that's how you bought yours.
Yeah, but the opening page.
Yeah, well, sometimes they'll just put it like on the back page.
We'll have to check out the back page. But sorry, awesome artist of Robots vs. Zombies number 2.
Yeah, that is very, very, very cool cover. But
yeah. But so that's my pick, Derek. Thank you for letting me talk about it.
Hey,
or bumble through it.
Always happy. It actually, well, no, I was going to say it looks more like the art from the third story, but
yeah,
but only on that one page.
Yeah, so. I definitely. You know, I'm sorry, you did mention. I'm gushing about the cover, which is great. Definitely three different styles of art.
Oh yeah.
Between the three stories. Again, going back to the middle story, this with the infant. That's just the art style just definitely takes the mood
sets the mood.
Yeah, sets the mood of the story. It's just absolutely wonderful. Dirty. Very dirty.
Dirty, filthy, filthy.
Actually, you know, in a roundabout way, it almost kind of reminds me a little bit of Afterlife with Archie.
A little bit.
But this is definitely dirtier.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, when is the next issue for that coming out?
I don't know. I was looking at it the other day, and I'm like, God damn it, I really want to read that.
Yeah, you know what, though? I'm happy that they're taking their time.
Ashley Wood did the cover.
Oh. Thank you, Crack Reporting Team.
The power of the internet. And good thing we got those internet cats doing that for us. I just picture a bunch of cats just going tap, 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 on their little keyboard.
Oh, with little like a... like
little green visor on there.
Yeah, visor. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. All right. Wrap things up here for Off the Shelf, which, by the way, guys, we mentioned it here at the very top, but Off the Shelf is brought to you guys by Motor City Comic Con. Please go check them out at MotorCityComicCon.com, and it is going to be May 15th through the 17th in beautiful Novi, Michigan at the Suburban Collection Showplace, and, yeah, that guest list is getting freaking awesome.
I haven't seen it. Give me a highlight.
Really. Actually, Simon Bisley on art. An artist is going to be there. That I'm very excited. We met him a couple years ago, but really didn't get to talk to him in depth. Mostly known for drawing Lobo. He's going to be there. James O'Barr is going to be there. There's a couple others. There's one I'm going to mention later, only because it's part of the book that I'm doing. On there, the media guest side, there are a ton of Walking Dead people there. Speaking of which, Emily Kinney and Stephen Yeun being two of them, and I cannot remember his name, but it's the guy that played Tyrese. He's going to be there. So I mean, they're pulling out some big guns. Robert Englund.
Oh my gosh, Katie Sagal.
Yeah, Ryan, Robert Englund.
Ryan Hurst. Your boy Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah. Lou lives in these on the con circuit, man, which that's pretty awesome for him. But
yeah.
So, but yeah, the Ralph Macchio is going to be there. C. Thomas Howell is going to be there. I mean, there's some fun shit coming. So, but anyway, go guys, check them out at MotorCityComicCon.com, and you can see the list for yourself. The artist list is the artist and media guest list are continually growing every freaking day, it seems like. So my second book here for Off the Shelf, though, is They're Not Like Us number 3 from Image Comics. Eric Stevenson did the story, Simon Gain does art, and Jordy Belair does colors and phonographics, do the letters on this book. I want to bring this one up. Third issues are a little bit more difficult to jump in on, just because it's one of those things where you're now into the middle of that first story arc, and jumping in can be much more difficult. But what I realize is I'm going through this, and I'll give Kevin, I don't know if you are familiar with this book or not, but the basic idea is that you have these young people who are, you know, teenage to early 20s that all have acquired superpowers. And the main girl here, who's they give the name of Sid, she is able to read minds. She's a telepath.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there are people that have all these different powers. There's one that they call Blur Girl, and she's able to make people see things that aren't really happening. She creates illusions. You have people that can go really fast, all these different things. There's one guy that he can talk to. He's a telepath, but he can only talk to computers and electronics. So, you know, it's kind of neat. The main thing that I wanted to kind of point out on this book, as far as a reason for people to pick this up, do you remember when Heroes was good?
No.
You never liked Heroes, or you just didn't watch it?
I've watched a couple episodes in, and...
Okay.
I'm actually probably the worst person to ask.
Okay, well, once upon a time, Heroes was good.
I know about the steady decline of the show.
Yeah. Heroes was really good because it was people that were, like, first learning out that they had these powers and how to deal with them and stuff like that. And that's a lot of what this is. I mean, this is an origin story of this girl, Sid, who's joining this team of people who, they aren't necessarily good people, which is an interesting take. Speaking of taking, they take what they want when they want it, because they feel that the normal people out there, if they found out about them and they knew about them, they would try to exploit them or they would kill them.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so they have a home, they live off the grid. It's a very, very interesting story, and you're really starting to see a lot of different people develop. The next thing on here, this artwork on this book, when I first saw it, I was like, okay, I like this. The second issue, I was like, for whatever reason, I fell out of love with it a little bit. This third issue, it really drew me back in, because I don't know what it is between the actual artwork and the written story. It just worked so beautifully on these pages. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're in these areas where there's a crowd around them, but they've got everybody blocked out. They're kind of having these mental conversations. Like, you see the fight at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually happening in real life, but you notice, like, the background of these is pure white. The only colors are on the people themselves. And
I noticed that a lot in this book. I've never seen just a plain white background on so many pages before. It's
because that's basically the mental state, you know, that Sid is in, and these other people. And it's a pretty cool thing to kind of see that. And I think that's, like, I don't know, this book just worked beautifully. The last thing that I need to bring up on here, and I've never seen anybody do this before, but all three issues of this, if you notice the cover, you've got your title at the top. You've got a panel across the middle here with Sid on there saying, again, you have the name of the issue, then you have the credits. This panel with the picture of her saying again, just like the other ones, this is the first panel of the comic book. The story starts on the cover.
Never seen that before.
Which is truly amazing. And then it goes right into inside front cover. Your story goes. You know, you've got...
They don't spare any... There's no space for ads at all, except for the last page.
And that's not even an ad. This is just more about the book. You know, so beautifully put together book, as far as, like, just kind of bringing it to life there. So anyway, guys, check out that book if you haven't. It's well worth your time. And I think this one's going on my poll now at this point. Three issues in, I think it's earned a spot. So, all right. I think that does it for Off the Shelf. Once again, brought to you by MotorCityComicCon.com.
Excellent, excellent. All right, we can jump right into some news notes.
Woo!
Oh my gosh.
What?
Are you? I was wondering, was that a weak woohoo?
Yeah, it was.
Or were you just like woohoo?
Oh no, that was a weak woohoo. DuckTales, woohoo! DuckTales is coming back.
Who is it coming back to? Because it's coming back to
Disney XD.
It's coming back for us old fucks.
Yeah.
But it's debuting for a whole new generation, really. Yeah. Because if you didn't know, DuckTales, popular animated show that aired from
87 to 90.
Yeah. It was funny you say 87, and that's probably entirely accurate, but it was part of a afternoon block of shows on syndicated television. And that block was from 89 up until the early 2000s. But this was actually the lead in to that block. Where
was Gummy Bears part of that?
No, that was actually a Saturday morning cartoon series on NBC.
Okay, yeah.
And that actually lasted, that ended with...
way before its time.
It was a long, series. It was actually one of those cartoon series where it had, like, a really awesome last season. Where you had an epic story that was... It was just a grand epic story. Kind of like... you wouldn't think Gummy Bears would have it, but it was...
Well, hell, that show, it was bouncing here and there and everywhere. But, High adventures that were beyond compare. I mean, they're the Gummy Bears.
You still remember that? That's ridiculous.
Gummy Bears, bouncing here and there and everywhere. Yeah.
But no, another show similar that had an epic last season was Teddy Ruxpin.
What?
Yeah.
Please tell me that Teddy turned into a cyborg and just killed everyone.
No. It was. I can't explain it because it's been 20 years since I saw it, but I remember. Of course, I watched it again, and it probably doesn't hold up. But I remember as a child, or 8, 9, however old I saw it. That was an epic last season, and yes, it was on multiple seasons.
Okay, well,
but DuckTales coming back, Disney XD.
Yep, Disney XD coming in 2017. Might be in that. I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering maybe if, like, anyway, we'll get back.
It'd be interesting to see how much they take from the original. Because they do mention some of the characters from that show are going to be returning, like the antagonists, like Cruella de Vil, and then the crime family, I forget their name, like the Buckley brothers or something like that. And
yeah.
Then you have like the... Anyway, I'm excited. As anyone can tell. So,
by the time this comes out, I'm sure pretty much everyone will have heard and knows, but Leonard Nimoy did pass away here this past week. Our thoughts and prayers go out to his friends and family. While Star Trek is not a huge part of our show, it does cross over in the fact that we've talked about some Star Trek comics more than a couple times.
Definitely. I mean, it is definitely a show that we mentioned on the show. I think enough. And really, Star Trek is such a... and Star Wars, I mean, those are such an important part. I mean, mostly what we review are comic books. But those shows had a great influence in this industry.
Well, it's all part of our same culture. So, but I'm trying to do that cat.
it's funny is that this cat would never be around us if we weren't recording.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. Did you hear the shocking news, Kevin? I mean, this is shocking.
Does it involve a shocker?
And
the three finger here. No,
that's two and one. The Shocker is 2-1.
Oh. See, I must be thinking of the Wheat Shocker or something.
That's almost like the
the minivan.
The minivan. Well, the minivan's 2 in the front and 5 in the rear. Fisted. Okay, no.
No, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about some sort of convention that's happening.
San Diego Comic-Con. Holy cow. I mean, they sold out in record time in basically an hour this year.
Isn't it record time every year?
It is. It's every year.
You know what? They could just say it's record time. No one's only a select few are going to backtrack and do some fact-checking.
Yeah, and you'll have the one guy go, I have my receipt. I got it at 63 minutes right here. You know?
For me, when I read this news bit, I was more interested, not in that. That's old news, selling out fast. I mean, that happens. But the talk of moving the show.
Yeah.
What I didn't realize in prior articles I've read about the convention is that they have exceeded capacity.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that it's at the convention and outside the convention they've exceeded capacity. That was more interesting. And that in 2 to 3 years, you could see it somewhere else.
Yeah.
That was a more fascinating piece of the article that I read.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. If you guys didn't get your tickets, you know.
Better luck next year.
All right. Quick little note. Ben Abernathy, who is a former editor for DC and Wildstorm, he actually went to go work for Madefire for a while, and he is now returning to DC with under the position of talent relations or a director of talent relations for them. So,
I got a question.
Yes,
I got a question, Derek. Pick me,
Kevin. What's your question?
What the hell is Madefire?
Madefire is an app that, if I remember correctly, I think they had some of those like not animated comic books, but you know what I mean, like the slightly motion comic books. That's Madefire.
Oh, so where someone just takes a comic book and just jiggles it in front of a camera?
Kind of. Yeah. Kind of like that.
Yeah. I was going to, my alternate funny comment was going to be, oh, Madefire sounds like a badass team of superhero maids.
Wow. I was expecting like ate too many hot peppers jokes and made fire in the bathroom or something. Okay.
Another field joke.
Yep.
Another field joke. I only got a baker's dozen left.
All right. Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick signed a deal with Universal TV to adapt Sex Criminals. And it sounds like they might be adapting some other things as well.
Brilliant move. Brilliant. I mean, Sex Criminals has been critically acclaimed by so many organizations.
How do you do that on TV? How do you do it on a movie and not make it porn?
There's ways to do it because, like, 50 Shades. I mean, they're not showing some full-on penetration or anything.
Well, no. They're not really showing the full-on...
They've adapted a very... sexually forward book into the movie, but they can do it. I don't think it's gonna be an NBC show.
Yeah, I mean, I could see this
just as long as it's not a sci-fi show.
I could Siffy. I could see this perhaps being on like Showtime or HBO or something like that. But if it's not on something like that, where you have like full license to go as hard as you want, no pun intended. That, you know, it's gonna be a little crazy.
All right, let's see.
In other news here, Kevin, this one I thought there was some really interesting stuff that came out this week.
Like Catwoman's bisexual from the Duh, That's Obvious file.
Yeah. Okay. Now, actually, I will say I actually called into a local talk radio show on Friday when this news came out.
Oh yeah.
Now,
did you name drop us?
You know, I didn't. I thought about it, but I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to. And it was, and I'm not going to say where my political views lie, personally, because it doesn't matter in this instance. And this is one of the interesting ones. But the talk radio that I was listening to was a conservative, you know, more right wing talk radio, which a lot of talk radio tends to be. It's
sure, because I guess liberals don't have anything important to talk about.
No, like, I mean, you've got NPR and stuff, but it doesn't tend to seem to be that same talk radio format.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this was covering basically this one covers kind of like the lower portion of the state from like Lansing west.
Oh, okay.
You know,
pretty regionalized. Yeah. Okay.
Lansing, Battle Creek, Kalamazoo area.
So they decided to talk about this for a while?
They decided to talk about this, and I ended up talking to this guy for like 10 minutes on talk radio, which we literally went break to break.
Really? He's like, hey, can you hold on for after the break?
Well, no, like he brought me in like immediately after the break, and he cut it off because we had to go to break.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty impressive for any type of talk radio format.
Yeah, but we were having a good conversation, and I guess here's my thing with Catwoman being bisexual. If it's not going to make this for a better story, it's strictly for a cash grab.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, that's kind of where I'm thinking. If it makes for a better story, fuck yeah, I'm all for it. You know, but I understand the comic book industry gets a lot of flack for not being as diverse as they could be, you know? And everybody wants to have their own character that they can relate to. And I get that. I totally get it. And I'm fine with that. But if they're just doing it just to do it, then I'm going to be a little bit disappointed and pissed off. So
where do you fall on this reveal?
I don't care. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out in the story. If it's just a reveal so they can have a panel of her kissing some chick when she wants to, that's a waste.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not reading Catwoman right now. I mean, the closest I came to reading it was when she was part of the Justice League of America.
Yeah.
Back well over a year ago now.
Yeah.
But it's about... So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, whatever. Hopefully it does... You know, it progresses a story along.
Yeah. A couple other announcements here, and I'm going to kind of burn through a couple of them real quick. New comic book coming out from Boom called The Spire. They announced that at the Comics Pro. And it's from the same team of Cy Spurrier and Jeff Stokely who brought us Six Gun Gorilla about 2 years ago, which is one of the best miniseries I've ever read in my life. So... super excited to see what's going to come out with that one. And I'm going to see if we can't perhaps get one or both of those gentlemen on to talk to us a little bit about that one. Another Boom Studios announcement. And Kevin, I know that at least one of these was a book that you enjoyed, but there's 5 new trade paperbacks coming out.
Well, I'm happy to hear about that because there's actually a few of these I wanted to check out, but didn't pick them up as singles.
Yeah. There's 5 new ones coming out from Boom. You've got Lumberjanes, Volume 1, Bee and Puppy Cat, Volume 1, Translucid, which is going to be the complete 6-issue miniseries, I believe. Clockwork Angels, which is the complete miniseries. And Kevin, I know you read that one. Mm-hmm. Was that a 4-issue or?
6.
Okay. Thomas Alsop, Volume 1, which will be the first 4 issues. And then Cowboy, Volume 1, A Boy and His Horse. And that's going to be the first time in soft cover on that one. So keep your eyes out for that one. And I mean, I know that from us here, Translucid, Clockwork Angels, and Thomas Alsop were all big favorites for us.
Yeah, it would definitely Lumberjanes and Cowboy. That was another one. Like, I know that they were good. I've heard about it. I've seen the tweets, seen the Facebook posts, but just never got around to checking it out.
Yeah. One thing, this is on Comic Book Resources, and I'm sure you can probably find some more stuff out there about it, but there was a design student from Philadelphia University who made a bat suit. He actually made a functional bat suit, and he raised a little over $1,200 to to get it made, you know, to purchase all the stuff, and then he put it together himself. It's actually pretty damn cool to see that, you know, I mean, basically, it's good for, you know, what they say in this article is anything short of a bullet. And I guess he did an interview with USA Today. So, you know, obviously, fists aren't going to do a whole lot. Machetes, baseball bats, knives, things of that nature. And he made it so that it's easy to move. But go check it out. I think it's pretty damn cool when people are bringing that
really,
to life.
Yeah, it's really, really sweet. But come on, if you're a design student, better be badass or you gotta find a new major.
You know, here's what I like about this, though. I mean, you take a kid like that that goes out and puts the time and effort into doing it. That is one hell of a resume builder.
Definitely some fluff to talk about. Get something exciting on a resume, because resume is pretty flipping boring.
Yeah, and if you get the interview, wear the fucking bat suit in.
Don't forget a tie.
Yeah, and some bat links, like for your cufflinks. You know, yeah, a tie, that'd be awesome. All right, there were a couple other things. The Comics Pro retail conference in Portland happened, and there's quite a bit to this, but on the short end, it was kind of interesting that Image announced that they're raising their minimum discount on Image products from 35% to 45% starting in the month of March, and the new retailers that they used to get a 50% discount for 3 months, that's been extended to a year. So I think it's kind of cool that they're doing this to kind of help those brick and mortar shops, you know, grow and get a little bit bigger piece of the pie.
So I want to know, and I admittedly, this is a very long article,
mm-hmm.
that we pulled up. That it talks about these discounts, which is great for the retailers. But are they doing this because of the recent announcement that they're going to go direct mail on their pieces?
You know, that's a good point that I hadn't thought.
Yeah, because there was about a month or two ago, yeah, we mentioned that Image
they've got a subscription.
Yeah, they revealed plans for a subscription service, which is. Yeah. Hey, you know what? You got to. This is privately owned company, but you're always trying to find new ways to increase sales, which will increase your bottom line. Then, because you in business, you grow or die.
Yeah. You know what? That's a really good point.
So I'm curious to know if this was the plan all along. Are they reacting to retailer backlash on this? That's probably pretty quiet. That would be interesting to me. Now, again, I didn't read the full article, but I don't. It might be covered in that part. But that would be interesting to see if this is a reaction to that announcement from a month or two ago.
It makes sense that it could be. It also makes sense that even if they weren't getting the backlash, that they put this out there to keep from getting the backlash once it starts, because you're going to have people that are saying, you're taking money out of my pocket. Well, you know what? We'll make up for it by giving you an extra discount.
Yeah, which hopefully that's the case. This is all part of the plan, because nothing's worse than a company kind of trying to do a little backpedaling or be reactionary to something else that they've done. That is never a good look for a company.
Yeah. The last thing that I had here,
we're talking about this interview with Mr. Bendis.
Actually, no. That's not my last thing.
Oh, really?
So yeah.
I'm checking off all these things.
Sorry, that's okay.
The digital.
Yeah, but let's talk about Bendis here. Brian Michael Bendis did an interview with Cleveland.com, yeah, which he's a native Clevelandite. Well, I don't what Cleveland Indian
Clevelander?
Clevelander, sure.
He's a Browner.
Ohioan. Yeah. So anyway, it was a really cool interview, and if you guys want to go just go to cleveland.com and you can check it out. the thing that I thought was the most interesting was, and it's kind of fun to hear him saying that he can't say shit.
Oh,
like he signed a giant non-disclosure.
It's a giant. Right? It's not just a non-disclose contract. It's a giant.
Yeah. But they bring up the speculation that the new version of Spider-Man in the movies, now that Sony is going to share rights with Marvel, that it could be Miles Morales from the Ultimate world. And this is catching a lot of steam, and I think it's a little too early for us to speculate. But it would make sense.
Oh, okay. So let us speculate. So
I think they'll do it.
okay. Who would you rather see in the Avengers crossover? Miles Morales or Peter Parker?
You know what? I think I'd probably have to go Miles. Really? And I think part of the reason is...
Go ahead.
Well, I think part of the reason is if you're going to do a Civil War movie and you have the unmasking, when you have, say... And actually, maybe even both. Because you could literally have Peter Parker standing there while Ultimate Spider-Man comes swinging through, and they're like, wait, what the fuck? And so that could be a catalyst to saying, we need to have these people registered.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
okay. Well, my take would be that you have Peter Parker in the Avengers movie because you wouldn't have to make a full on origin story with the introduction of this new character. You can sort of assume that, I mean, you do have to do some bits talking about where he came from or whatnot, but then you can assume your audience already kind of is familiar with that, whereas your Miles Morales character, not a lot of people know about him, and you could do a complete reboot, if you will, of a dedicated Spider-Man movie with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would think. I would be fine. Hey, Spider-Man together with the Avengers. Hell, I don't remember seeing... How many times did Spider-Man appear with the Avengers?
Oh God, who knows?
Yeah, I don't.
Well, actually,
From what I've read,
he
from,
was part of the Avengers for a while.
Yeah, and I don't remember that. I only read some of the early I read the '60s and the early '70s Avengers, and I don't remember the whole a lot of that.
Well, even
I do
recently,
remember. I do remember. Yeah, but I don't know anything recent.
Yeah,
and then there was a what if I don't remember what issue it was, but there was a what if of what Spider-Man joining the Avengers.
Yeah. And then they just made it happen. And it's not what if, it's when Spider-Man joined the Avengers. This kind of the last thing here, Kevin, that I do have is about Dark Horse. And
oh, good. I was hoping that we were going to bring that up.
Yeah, this is really interesting to me, and this actually kind of ties in with what we were talking about with Image and them going direct. Dark Horse is looking at different ways of getting their comic books out there and how they're getting their comic books out there to their readers. There are three of their titles that are currently being released as individual issues that are now going to be released individual issues, no longer in print, but only in digital. And I'll swing back around, but you've got Ghost Fleet, Resurrectionist, and Sundowners are the three. The only way that these books are going to see print then is then they will collect the story arcs in trade paperback form. So if you want to buy them individual issues, you have to get them digitally. Otherwise, if you want them in print, you have to wait for them to come out in trade paperback form. So little different approach, and I'm kind of curious to see how this works out for them.
It's very interesting because... If this is happening right now, I don't know about it. Seems like just something completely different that they're trying.
I think what it is I think you've got these books that are maybe on the bubble, and I'm guessing on this. I really don't have any clue what the sales for these books are, but I'm guessing that they've got a strong enough following where they're selling books, but it might not be profitable on the individual issue side.
Okay. Yeah,
but it's got a big enough following. They're like, oh, we don't want to lose the potential money,
yeah.
But at the same time, we aren't really making any money. You know, if it's at that break even standpoint, So they're trying to find a way maybe to make it profitable for the business. I'm speculating. I'm guessing. I don't know. But anyway, that's it. It'll be curious to see how that,
yeah,
that turns out.
Yeah, right on, man. Right on. So now we have our Indy Turnpike.
Indy Turnpike. And this is why I kind of held off with the Motor City Comic Con. This is actually probably the one creator I'm most interested to meet is Mr. Ted McKeever. And the book I'm reading or reviewing here this week for this is issue 6 of 6 of the Super Annual Headman.
Oh, the conclusion.
Yeah.
I still see that they're still printing in a the ultra big format.
Yeah, the Golden Age style or size format in here. And it's still black and white where it's just, I mean, it looks like just pen and ink and that he's done in here. This book has basically followed what appears to be the last human, maybe not on Earth, but in this city where you have these people that have, or people, these animals that have somehow morphed into these anthropomorphic talking animals that have kind of taken over the thing. I'm not going to dive into this one too far, A, partially for time, but B, if you haven't read this, issue 6 is not where to pick up on here, but
so, well, I remember the last time you're talking about a book and you're encouraging people not to pick it up.
Well, yeah, but
but I get where you're, yeah, I get what you're
you
saying.
You really like, I mean, if you were to go through this book and you didn't have the background and understanding of where things came, these, you know, you're opening. Okay, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 pages that are 2-panel pages on there. Then you have a giant full panel splash page and then another half panel before there's ever a word spoken. You're not going to have a fucking clue what's going on in this book if you haven't read what was there before.
I think it was issue 4 that you brought to the table. And wasn't it the same kind of intro where there was a bunch of panels? Not much was said, or nothing was said, and then bam.
Yeah, there's a lot of very large splash page type panels in this book.
Sure.
But the artwork here is just absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's some of the most beautifully detailed black and white artwork I've ever seen. And from a visual storytelling, you know, it's just outstanding. So guys, go check out Superannuated Man. What I'm excited about and what I can't wait for May is on the very back page is Poodwaddle is coming out next from Ted McKeever. And Kevin, you want to look at the back page and read the what says Poodwaddle?
Oh,
is
it's a...
you, that's where you read it so people can at home hear it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you want me to read it aloud?
Yeah.
Okay. An interjection to sound smart when you don't have a clue what you're saying.
That's what a poodwaddle is.
See, that's the summary of our show.
Exactly. That's why we're really excited to talk to him. But, you know, actually, you know what? Fuck it. Even if you haven't read the first 5 issues, go buy this one because the artwork alone's worth it.
Oh, yeah. That's very nice.
Yeah. So that does it for that. And I've got one last thing for booze in a book. Sorry, I got the hiccups. The boost has already hit me today. Brought to you by inkwhiskey.com. If you guys were not the lucky winner that won our 2 complimentary flasks, you know, here, go over to inkwhiskey.com and go buy a couple for your own. They're cheap and they're awesome. Cheap price-wise, not construction-wise, because I've had mine for a year and that thing is still, like, just in perfect condition. So, anyway, booze in a book this week is Rasputin number 5 from Image Comics, and this is written by Alex Grecian, art is by Riley Rossmo, and colors are by Ivan Placencia. And I am pairing this with Russian Standard Vodka, if you haven't seen a Russian Standard Vodka, it's actually got Cyrillic writing on it, and this is the closest thing that I could find to when I decided to have a little barbecue with my regular cab driver, because the one thing I will say about us here at Drunken Comics, we love our booze, but we love responsible drinking at the same time, and we always get our cabs or our Ubers. Don't ever drink with a Russian, Tony, or with Kevin. See?
especially vodka, because we probably grew up drinking it.
Yeah.
Literally, like, in his young days, he was drinking before it was even legal.
Yeah, so, but I think this is the stuff that I was drinking with them as the night went on, but I don't remember. All I can really tell you is that it was fantastic.
I mean, this sounds pretty special, D.
I've
never heard of it.
Russian Standard? Yeah, it's... I don't know.
You're not gonna find this at your corner liquor store next to the Pop-Up and your Grey Goose.
Probably not. But you know, it's. I think both of these are at the height of their craft, so it's definitely worth checking both out. If you guys ever meet me in person, remind me. I'll tell you about drinking with the crazy Russian and his wife, basically calling me and my buddy. Sloppy little vaginas because we tried to slow down on the drinking. Yeah, it's fun. So anyway, that's pretty much it. Like I said, if you guys ever want to hear more about that story, I'm more than happy to do a summary at some point.
Sure.
not a wintry, but a summary.
All right, so for our last call segment.
Last call?
Yeah. I do want to give a small shout out to Prince Valiant.
What?
Yes, you know that.
Yeah, the comic, the Sunday morning cartoon.
The Sunday or
Sunday morning comic. Yeah,
comic strip. Yeah, the thing that I never read.
Yeah,
this isn't Garfield.
Yeah,
this isn't my Calvin and Hobbes. I'm not gonna. This is what my grandfather read.
Yeah. It's not Kathy. Ack.
No, so I, like, it was, its full title is, I think it's, pretty sure it's called King Prince Valiant. But this is, it's an interesting introduction. It was an issue one. Basically, young Prince Valiant gets kicked out of the kingdom. Begin story. I thought it was interesting and worthy enough of mentioning it here in the segment.
Well, we might have to switch the segment to bowl cuts. Okay, a couple other quick shout-outs. I actually had a heavy Marvel week this week. So, Spider-Gwen, number one. Interesting. But we'll see where it goes. Inhuman number 12, that book is still fantastic. Same as Daredevil, just kicking ass. The Thor annual, still no answers.
Because it's an annual.
Yeah.
Nothing happens in annuals.
Yep. And then the Black Hood number 1, which came from Dark Circle Comics. It's a Dwayne Swierczynski book on there, vigilante style. So if you guys like that, check that one out. And then Curb Stomp, number 1 of 4 from Boom Studios, Ryan Ferrier and Devaki Neoji did this book. Very, very 19... Actually, it very, very reminiscent almost of The Warriors.
Okay.
But like a girl gang.
It just... I don't know much about...
Curb Stomp?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at it and like... Just looking at the cover, I thought you were going to see something like Saved by the Bell.
No, it kind of...
Even though there's a smoking woman on the front.
It kind of looks almost like a badass Gem in the Holograms cover when you're just glancing at it because of the colors in here. It's very, very pretty colors on the cover. It's not a very pretty book on the inside because it's gruesome. Yeah. So, Kevin, this one's not for you.
Oh, that kind of
There's one particular violent act in here.
Well, I'm happy. I almost reached over and grabbed it to flip through it. So thank you for saying that.
It's not overly graphic. It's more in what you're imagining in your head. And I know that's for you. That's going to push you over the edge. But
thanks, man.
Anyway.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, Derek.
Hey, I'm glad you're back, man. It's weird to go and have a baby and all of a sudden priorities change.
Yeah. 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 That happens, man.
Yeah. All right.
So, all right. Well, hey, listeners, thanks for listening to us today. Feel free to come back next week.
Yeah, keep reading your comics, guys. We'll be back next week and talk to you more about them then. We'll see ya. What it takes to keep me satisfied. I'm heading west, but doesn't everyone at times wish that they could break away and